And what I will sneak in with asylum is also something called VAWA. It's the Violence Against Women's Act. That is free as well. And it's not just for women. They just refuse to change that name, but it's not just for women. And just to create a little caveat there, basically what that's created for is for people who are married to U.S. citizens or green card holders and who are being abused or who are being taken advantage of, and they're dangling kind of that, I will petition for you if you do this, or you're not allowed to do this because I'm petitioning for you. And if you don't do this, I won't petition for you. There is a parameter that's there so that you can apply, and that's free. And the cool thing about VAWA is you can do an entire VAWA application with your significant other living in the same house, and they will never know you did it.
Hello, family. You are listening to Concrete Pastures Podcast. I am Nancy Mlemwa-Sisi. Being an immigrant has been one of the most challenging and extraordinary experiences of my life. It inspired me to create a space that allows for myself and others to share our stories as we deconstruct the world's view of immigrant status. We unlock the joys, the laughs, and the bravery that being a dreamer brings. So subscribe and stay a while as we dive into today's episode. My conversation with our favorite immigration lawyer, Deborah Kimbuta, continues. Enjoy. So we're going to jump into appeals. So could you just explain to us what those are and how can someone apply if they do qualify for appeals?
Yeah, so USCIS, which is the main immigration stateside. USCIS offers broad spectrum three types of appeals. I use the word appeal to cover all of them, but realistically there is what's called an appeal. And that's going to be where you apply for them to review the case. So for a citizenship, it's not really an appeal. You're appealing the case, but you're actually asking for a hearing. And then you're going to go back in front of a brand new officer that's going to analyze your case from a brand new perspective. And that's going to look at the brief that you've provided in order to be able to have your attorney argue for you. Typically in interviews, when you go for your interview with your attorney, we're actually not allowed to speak to normally. We're not allowed to speak. We're just there to make sure that the officer is not asking you questions beyond those parameters and making sure that everything is understood. We're analyzing the situation and really preparing in the event we have to appeal. But with an N336 hearing, which is when we're appealing the citizenship, we actually can ask questions back and we can clarify things and we can help you kind of navigate that portion. So that would be, N336 is only for citizenship. For a green card, you have either a motion to reopen or a motion to reconsider. A motion to reopen is going to be, hey, I want to reopen this case because I think, and I always get the two mixed up, but the motion to reopen, I'm going to go with, I want you guys to reopen this case and look at the facts again because I think that I have new evidence that could help me win the case. The motion to reconsider is you guys might have misapplied the law. And now that I'm the motion to reconsider is I think you guys misapplied the law. Look at how the law says that I'm allowed to have this green card. So those are going to be your three kind of outsets. There's going to be your appeal. There's going to be your N336, motion to reopen, motion to reconsider. The good thing is you don't have to memorize all of that. Your denial notice lets you know what you have a right to do. But in all of those cases, you have 30 days to apply. 30 days to either apply. 30 days to apply if you received your notice online. So some people apply online. 33 if you received your notice by mail. And they have to receive it within that time frame. And that's why I always tell people when you get a denial, you don't have time to be sad, especially if you think it's wrongfully gotten. You don't have time to be sad. You need to get an attorney immediately. And know that if you file for the appeal by yourself and they both they refuse to appeal your case, you're going to have to start all over. So the first thing you should be doing is going to an attorney and getting that appeal, getting that that denial letter read, so you know if you have grounds for an appeal or not. Because sometimes they really do make a mistake. You just need somebody to argue that for you.
Wow. That's a lot. The next one, I have nothing to add to that one. So the next one is, how much does that cost, by the way? If you already applied, if you are reapplying, do you have to pay again or no?
If you're reapplying or if you're applying for the appeal?
If you're applying for the appeal.
If you're applying for the appeal, I want to say that all of them are $700. I'm going to go with that. One application is $700. The other one might be like $645, but it's right around that $700, $645 range.
Gotcha. I know you are from Congo, and there's a lot of asylum seekers from Congo, and rightfully so. How does anyone, probably someone listening to us, maybe in around the world, and they're looking to get an asylum here in the US, how does someone go about it? Or someone who's already here too?
So how you're going to go about it, it's harder from outside of the United States. There's going to have to be a lot of proof for the United States to be able to take you in, bring you stateside, and be able to review your asylum claim. So I always say, find a way to get to the border. Asylum is not, I'm not telling you to lie to any U.S. immigration officer, but asylum is one of the only times where when you're coming in, remember, when you're coming in, for example, if you're getting a visitor's visa and then you enter the United States and you start working, that means that you lied about your intention when you were getting the visitor's visa. But if you get a visitor's visa and then you get to the United States and you do an asylum claim, asylum is one of the only places that will forgive the fact that you lied about your intention because you were fleeing for safety. But once you get here, the most important thing is you have 1 year to apply for asylum from the moment you enter the United States. It doesn't matter if you're in status, out of status, you have 1 year. After that 1 year, you're going to have to apply for a 1 year waiver and explain to them what extenuating circumstance made it to where you couldn't apply for that 1 year. If you do not qualify for that 1 year exception, you're automatically disqualified from asylum. And now your remedy is just going to be dropped down to withholding of removal, which is basically the same as being stuck with just a work permit, and a cat protection, which is a convention against torture. And it's the same. It's just you're going to be stuck with a work permit, and you're just always going to be renewing that work permit with no pathway to citizenship unless someone that's American petitions for you. The application is done with USCIS. All of the previous applications that we talked about, you shouldn't apply by yourself. You could apply by yourself and win, but right now situations are tight. You shouldn't apply by yourself. Asylum, you shouldn't even dream of thinking about possibly applying by yourself. You cannot do that. It's one of those things that used to be so easy back then, because we didn't have social media. You know, countries were communicating, but not in depth. We didn't have immediate access to the internet. So your everyday American attorney or prosecutor wasn't able to look up information. Now they can pull up everything that's going on in Congo and go into detail and try to find, you know, they have social media. They have things that are going to make them go in depth to where you're actually having a conversation with someone that is just as knowledgeable as you. And what will end up happening is they will beat you because they have legal training, and you will get sent back to Africa, rather, or wherever you're coming from. So the most important thing to do once you know you're getting an asylum claim is to absolutely go to an attorney immediately. When you're preparing for an asylum claim, proof is the best gift you can give an attorney. Substantial proof is the best gift. So USCIS, actually, people don't know this, they have the jurisdiction to actually approve an asylum application. You don't have to go to court. It's not a requirement. When you go to court is when USCIS says, we don't know. you know, you, yes, we think that you were validly scared, but we don't know if you're it's like valid. So USCIS doesn't have the jurisdiction to deport you, but the court does. And so what USCIS will do is they'll send you a referral letter and tell you, go talk to a judge about it. And then if the judge says yes, then you'll get your asylum. Majority of the time, people write such loosely written asylum claims that USCIS will automatically refer. But there is a possibility that if your asylum claim is tough enough and strong enough, and then your interview with the asylum officer is strong enough, and there's just no refutable evidence that you're telling the truth, this is factual, you are in fact in danger, USCIS does have the discretion to automatically approve you, the same way they would approve a green card.
Being an immigrant can be hard. Having been away from my home country for over 20 years has allowed me to experience these hardships firsthand. Throughout my journey, I've had a lot of challenges that were hard to bear. Juggling adjustment to a new country, obtaining my immigration papers, getting married, having children, establishing my career, and finding time for myself. Even though I've always had faith, I also relied on therapy, which gave me the tools to cope with the issues life brought me. My fellow dreamers, let's remove the stigma around therapy and normalize seeking help with today's sponsor, BetterHelp. BetterHelp offers licensed therapists who are trained to listen and help you. Go to betterhelp.com/concretepastures for 10% off your first month of therapy with BetterHelp and get matched with a therapist who will listen and help in as little as 48 hours.
It's a lot of information, and it's great information because it's needed in our community, and this is why we're actually doing this. I've been waiting for this to be downloaded in my system so I can bring someone who's an expert, and you have given us so much to think about and to actually, you know, assess for ourselves, like, okay, should I go this route? Should I go this route? Should I go this route? Because there are some people who don't have papers at all for the fear or whatever reason that they may have. How much does it cost to just to apply for the asylum?
It's free. Okay. Asylum is free. And what I will sneak in with asylum is also something called VAWA. It's the Violence Against Women's Act. That is free as well. And it's not just for women. They just refused to change that name, but it's not just for women. And just to create a little caveat there, basically what that's created for is for people who are married to U.S. citizens or green card holders and who are being abused or who are being taken advantage of, and they're dangling kind of that, I will petition for you if you do this, or you're not allowed to do this because I'm petitioning for you. And if you don't do this, I won't petition for you. There is a parameter that's there so that you can apply, and that's free. And the cool thing about VAWA is you can do an entire VAWA application with your significant other living in the same house, and they will never know you did it. So typically what my clients will do... Yeah, so what my clients will do is there's always, if you look at the application, there's always like your physical address, your mailing address, and then an alternate safe address. My clients will always put the firm as their alternate safe address. So any notice pertaining to your documentation automatically comes to me or automatically goes to whatever trusted family member you have. So the person actually doesn't even know that you're applying for this. So you remain safe throughout the process.
Wow. No, I'm glad you shared that, because there's a lot of domestic violence that's going on in our community, and people are quiet because they're being threatened and they don't want to lose their assistance, because you don't know. You don't know what the person is going to say, and they're being abused. There's so much abuse out there. So, wow, I didn't know that was, I learned something new. That is really good.
Yeah.
Wow. No, that's really good. Also, asylum is free, and VAWA is free as well. And you just have to have a safe address.
Yeah, so you don't have to have a safe address. If you feel like you can handle your mail, but I always recommend with the VAWA claim, that you have a safe address, because the petitioner is automatically going to think you're telling the government I'm a bad person, I might get arrested or something like that, which they won't. But you want to keep yourself as safe as possible. So any of my violent clients, I always tell them, like, don't tell anyone you're doing this. It's safer. You don't know who's going to get mad one day and open up and share it. You don't know who's going to, you know, just keep this for you. And then once you get approved, we can go ahead and move forward.
Nice. I know we didn't talk about this one prior to recording, but just as an addition, there are a lot of people who've been here and they have become illegal based on their visa expiring and not going back to the country. What options do they have as it is today, aside from getting married or anything else?
Yeah. So this question always makes me sad, because the answer is they don't have a lot of options besides the options that you gave. So how I typically will handle a client that's gone through that, and even now they've made it tougher, because if you're going to do an asylum claim in Canada, because you used to be able to, hey, okay, I've passed the 1 year in America, America's not gonna take my asylum claim, Canada might hear it out. Well, once you touch American soil, they recently, I think in March, Canada and America signed a treaty, basically saying that you have to apply for asylum and the place where you first set feet in get denied, and then you can go apply in Canada. And so you have to apply for asylum in America first, and then you can go to Canada, because some people were just driving through America and just going to Canada. There is one thing I don't recommend. Actually, I'm going to say very vague things about it so that you don't try it by yourself, or because you will get deported if you do it by yourself without an attorney. There's a 10-year green card for a citizen that, I mean, a citizen, a person that has been in the United States for 10 years and has been a person of good moral character for 10 years. That only works if you haven't been called into court, but it's a defense. That's the thing that sucks about it. You can't just apply for it. You have to be in court, and they're actively trying to deport you, because that's one thing people don't know. If you're in front of a judge, they're actively trying to deport you, or they're trying to take away your green card or whatever it is.
Yeah.
So you have to be in front of the judge to be able to assert that defense. It's just like asserting asylum. And so with that, you do have the right to assert that, but you should never be trying to put yourself in the crosshairs of court without an attorney.
This is asylum based on morals only. So you're applying, yeah. I've been here 10 years and I'm a person of good morals and stuff like that.
Yeah, so I've been here 10 years. I'm a person of good moral character. And there is a green card holder or an American citizen that will suffer extreme hardship if I get deported. And America does not allow you to use kids.
Oh, I was about to ask.
No.
I was about to ask. I'm like, because people come and, you know, you start to have children, even if you're not married, let's say, and people have kids. And who wants to leave their kids?
So the thing that's insane, I was talking to one of my cousins, she's an attorney in France. And in France, once that baby is born and has French citizenship, or like if you're married the baby's father is French, the child has claim to French citizenship and the child can give you French citizenship. Not in America. That child has to be 21 to petition for you.
Wait, the baby can give you French citizenship?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You should see people flying to France.
And then it's going different. Yeah. You have a pathway through your child. America, you do not. That child has to be 21 to be able to petition for you. How you can do kids, I hate using kids, but how you can incorporate your kids is if it's going to be an extreme hardship for your spouse or significant other to take care of all of those kids. So you're not really staying for the kids. You're staying for your spouse because there's all these kids. But if you say like, oh, my kids need their dad, that's not enough. Because America's trying to curb the concept of anchor babies, which is people coming. Since we have once you're born on American soil, you're American. Well, once you're born in French soil, you're not automatically French. You have to have some attachment to France. So that's how they kind of separate the two. And that's what I was talking about initially, in the difference between African Americans and being Black in France, is being born on the soil does not make the soil yours. But in America, being born on the soil makes the soil yours. And so here, they don't want people flying into America for visits, popping out babies, and all of a sudden they get U.S. citizenship. So that's what they're trying to curb by doing that.
Great info. I heard about the 10-year green card situation, but I didn't know the details of it. Thank you for explaining that. But how can people get in touch with you out of all of this great info you've been able to share with us? How can people that are in need of these services get in touch with you?
I'm very active for the time being. I'm on pause on Instagram, but I'm very active via DMs. The only thing that I ask is do not send me your private information, because that's not a secure network. But you can book a consultation. I offer a free 10-minute consultation. I rarely keep them at 10 minutes because I talk a lot. But I offer a free 10-minute consultation just so you don't waste your money if I can't help you. And then there's also the immigration consultation, which is $170, and that'll give you 55 minutes. It will go over your case, and I'll read your documents and everything. All of that information can be found at @dkimbutalaw on Instagram, or you can go to the actual booking website, which is dkimbutalaw.com. As far as emailing and phone calls, emails are always better than phone calls, because my assistant is way better than me at keeping track of these things. And so she's the office manager. She handles everything. So she's really good at that. So send an email. An email is info@dkimbutalaw.com. And then we'll be able to chat, set up a time, and step-by-step work through things.
Deborah, you've been so informative with on everything. Thank you so much for what you are doing for
our community.
And this is needed. I think I have to look up some topics on what else we can talk about outside of these, and how we can add some topics to it. Like whatever you see in your world that is important, and it's important to our community, because we only know surface level type of information.
Yeah.
More in detail. There's a lot of things that you've mentioned here that I was like, oh wow, I didn't know that.
I'm glad. Yeah. I think that's the point of it all, right? To go through it and then to be able to give back. So it's I love the fact that you're doing this.
Yeah, no, thank you so much. Oh, this has been good. Thank you.
Until no problem. Thank you for having me.
That's it for this episode. Thank you again for lending us your ears. It's truly an honor to serve each and every dreamer. You can continue to support us by liking, sharing, and following us on our social media pages. The links are all in the show notes. We have so many exciting projects and ventures in store for you. Until next time, keep dreaming.
Thank you for listening. See you next season.
Born and raised in the motherland, chasing the best.